Hello again, this is LaRue Atkinson. You're watching One-on-One. We're in the middle of a series, Spiritual Constitution. We're in session two here. And if you're listening there by internet or watching through streaming video, I encourage you to get the notes out once again. And we'll continue on here. Spiritual Constitution, part two, process of asking. I shared in the earlier teaching there the visitation I had with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord had really walked into the room and he introduced him as the heavenly lawyer. And I want to give you a scripture for that in John chapter 16. Let's look at that verse 7 there in the notes. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And then verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, and he called him the Spirit of Truth. When he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." So there we see two names for the Holy Spirit there, the Comforter and the Spirit of Truth. Now that word Comforter there in the Greek, it means parakletos. And the definition of parakletos is one who pleads another's cause before a judge, a counsel for defense, a legal assistant, an advocate, and an intercessor. Really, he is our heavenly lawyer. He's come to represent you and I before the throne room of grace. Everything God has done is a finished work through the cross. Jesus completed the work. And now the Holy Spirit is here to represent you and I, our calling, our destiny, our prayers, our promises, the dreams of our life. He's there to help us, as we found out, to stand as an intercessor, an advocate, and a lawyer. He knows how to approach the throne room of God. He'll teach you how to receive answered prayer. And so in this particular session, we're going to get into the asking phase. Of ask. He said, "I say unto you, ask there." And we're back into Luke chapter 11 in verse 9. He said, "I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened." The three predominant phases of answered prayer: ask, seek, and knock. Now we're going to explore in depth in this particular session the process of asking. "For everyone that you ask, you shall receive. He that seeketh shall find. Him that knocketh, the door shall be open." So I thought what we would do is give a few scripture references first on the process of asking. As many people don't feel like they can ask anything from heaven. I remember in the early days before I went in the ministry that I was working, and one of my co-laborers there where we were working, he heard me praying one day, and I was just asking God. I was in sales and I was asking him, and I just prayed a prayer. I was bold in those days, and I said, "Father, I just ask you for this and this." And really it shocked him. And I remember the expression on his face. He literally backed up from me. He took like five steps backwards. And I said, What? He had this fear on his face, and he said, "I don't want to be struck down from lightning." He goes, "I got to get away from you." That was his picture of heaven. He didn't believe that God ever wanted anybody to ask anything from him. That God was this angry God in heaven. But that's just not what the scripture says. God has given you and I an open invitation to come before his throne and ask. And we're going to talk to you a little bit about asking today. I'm going to tell you what it is and what it's not. Before we do that, I just want to look at a few scripture references there about asking. Of course, we already see in Luke chapter 11, he says to ask. And Philippians chapter 4 and 6 says this: "Be careful for nothing." Don't be full of care and anxiety for nothing. "But in everything." How many things? Everything. Oh, my friends, you have to learn to ask. Ask, ask, and you have to learn to ask appropriately. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." You see that? You're going to have a thankful heart. "Let your request be made known unto God." You got to make them known, my friend. Well, God knows the desires of my heart. I don't need to ask him. You do have to ask him because he wants you to ask. I'm a father of two children, and I love it when my children, when I pick them up from school, the first thing they said, Daddy, can we go to McDonald's? Daddy, can we go to Burger King? Daddy, can we go and get ice cream? I'm just waiting for them now when I pick them up, for them to ask me. I don't always know what's in their heart, but they tell me. Of course, God does know what's in your heart, but He wants you to ask. Feel free to come to Him. He is your Father and He loves you. Look at John chapter 14, verse 13 says this, And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may glorify it in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Of course, it has to be according to the will of God. And He says that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He says, This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we shall receive the petitions that we desired of Him. It's a confidence if you ask according to His will. You know, there's the written will of God. There's the will of God just personally for you that He places within the confines of your spirit. There's a process by which God will get involved with you and He'll lay His will and His destiny within you. And He wants you to bring that back to Him. And today we're going to see some very powerful things concerning asking. Because you're going to find out that asking entails a whole lot more than the initial request. We'll see that in a minute. Of course, Psalms 2 and 8, God wants you to ask big. Look what He says here. Ask of me and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance. The nations. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. God wants to give you the world. It's part of your inheritance. He wants His kingdom filled and He wants you to ask for His kingdom to come into the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can see very clearly in Scripture that God wants us to ask. But I want to show you something today the Holy Spirit showed me. And that initial visit there, when He was showing me aspects of the lawyer, of things I'd never seen before. So if you will, I want you to turn in your Bible and your notes there to James chapter 1, and we're going to get into the process of asking. Because you may find there's some things we might have been doing wrong. Some things that God wants to correct, and He wants to teach us. He wants to show us. You know, there's protocol in the kingdom of God. Just because God is your loving Heavenly Father, there's still protocol. There's ways to approach Him and there are ways not to approach Him. For instance, most of the time when we pray to the Father, we're offering up a prayer of complaint and murmuring because our circumstances have pressed into us and we don't see what God has said that we're supposed to see. And God has told us one thing and the enemy's bringing the contrary circumstances to it. And all of a sudden we bring a complaint. We come boldly to complain into heaven. He doesn't want us to do that. We say, Father, where are you? Why haven't you done this? That's not how you go towards the throne of God. You got to know when you go before the throne, your rights. You got to understand the finished work of God. You have to respect that finished work. And you cannot pray, Father, if it be thy will. Now, God will let little children play like that. But you, that's growing and developing the Lord, you got to know His will. There's only so long you're going to get to pray like that, Father, if it be thy will. No, you got to know His will. That's the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, the very first thing, my friend, you have to know His will. And you have to be bold. And bringing that will, and there's a process by which you bring His promise to Him. We're going to talk about that. Look at James chapter 1, verse 5. Very powerful revelation here. If any of you lack wisdom, James says, let him ask of God. Here again, we see asking. God wants you to ask. That giveth to all men liberally. Here again, we see the Father's not withholding any good thing. He's giving to all men liberally. I asked the Lord one day, I said, if you're giving wisdom
to your people liberally. We're in big trouble because obviously there is something that we're not getting here because most of us are not walking around with a liberal wisdom on our life. And yet here's a promise for it. God wants us to be full of the wisdom of God. Did you know that Jesus stood in the gap for you? And speaking of the very wisdom of God, there in Isaiah chapter 53, said he stood dumb before the shears, opening not his mouth, that you might have the wisdom of God available to you in every situation and circumstance. He stood the gap for you. Do you know when he was before the Sanhedrin court, he could have told them the very molecular structure of the seats they were sitting on when they accused him. And yet he opened not his mouth, stood dumb before the shears. Why did he do that? You know it was going to cost his life. He could have rolled out the justification in one sentence and they would have freed him. He could have demonstrated the Father and they would have freed him. But no, he knew that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world and he was going to give his life. He'd already won that battle in the Garden of Gethsemane. So there he stood dumb, knowing it was going to cost his life, the ultimate cost, standing dumb. But now the wisdom of God is made available to you and I. Why? Because he withheld his wisdom. Now you can have it in every situation and circumstance. It's been freely made available. How many of you need that? Oh, I think we should just lift our hands right now and ask for the overshadowing of God's wisdom, for the impartation of God's wisdom, for God's wisdom to overshadow everything we set our hands on to do. You know, we can't walk according to our own sufficiency and our own wisdom and expect heavenly results. We're going to continue to get earthly results. Now watch this revelation here. Giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. That's the very scripture right there the Holy Spirit brought me to. He said, look at that. Look, look. When the Holy Spirit's teaching you, he'll center you into something. Because there's an explosive revelation behind it if you'll stay with him. Nothing wavering, for he that wavers like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed, let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting simple here. So I'm thinking, okay, I got on my knees. Let me just role play this out. Father, you know, you got to get your spiritual face on, you know, squinted eyes, you know, get that religious look about you and say, Father, I come before you and I ask you for wisdom. I mean, where are you going to waver? Between the S and the D? Father, I ask you for wisdom, but I waver and I end up dumb. I mean, where do you get to waver between W-I-S-D-O-M? Unless the initial request entailed far more than what you asked for. He said, let him ask in faith. You know that request that's going to go into your future? That was the very process he was talking about. Ask. The day you asked, heaven recorded your request. As soon as you asked, heaven employed the Holy Spirit, the angelic host of heaven, and he began to work on your behalf. As soon as you asked, heaven said, yes. He asked according to my will now. And as soon as you ask, guess what? So did the devil. He comes with all of his forces, with all of his circumstance. You remember the Lord said, let us go on to the other side. You're not going to get to the other side to where that door is of revival, or that door of answered prayer, or the door of the dreams and desires of your heart without a battle. The Holy Spirit's going to be there with you the whole step of the way. But so is your adversary, the devil. And that's why he said, you're going to have to ask in faith, because as soon as you make a request from heaven, all the adversary and all his circumstances and all his situations is going to come at you. You better hold the line. You better know what you're asking, because you're going to be tried and tested. Before you get to that door, there's a process you've got to go down called seeking. We'll talk to you more about that later. But right now, I want you to know, when you ask heaven concerning your call, concerning your destiny, concerning revival, concerning the salvation of your loved one, concerning the dreams and desires of your heart, you got to know there's going to be a trial. There's going to be a test. You cannot waver. You got to know that the day you asked for it, the Holy Spirit stepped in as your legal representative, and the first thing He did is He began ordering your ship to the promised land. Could you imagine being given a ship placed right in the middle of the Pacific Ocean with no map, with no compass, with enough gas to run around for 10 years. And then God speaks to you from heaven and says, find the island of Maui. My God, you and I, we would be traveling that ocean for 10 years looking for that little island. But you know what? He gave us the Holy Spirit. That's just like the heavenly doors. When you ask for something, most of what you're asking for, my friend, is a heavenly door. It's in the realm of the Spirit. You can't find it with your natural senses. You need Him to take you there. And He is our legal representation. And when you ask, you're going to have to ask in faith, because you're going to have to hold the line. You cannot waver once you ask. You've got to hold the line. Your emotions are going to scream at you. Your circumstances are going to scream at you, but you must hold the line. We're going to show you some very powerful principles of how to hold the line in the midst of the valley. Do you know that God most of the time gives His will and His destiny, His calling for your life on the mountaintop? He takes you on top of a mountain. He shows you all that you're called to do. And He just opens your eyes and you see it and you're ready to take the whole world on. I mean, you feel like David when he took down Goliath. I mean, the faith is there. You see it. I mean, you're ready to get it on the next day. Did you know nothing grows on the mountain? It grows in the valley. God gives you that vision on the mountain, but you got to go down into the valley is where you're going to grow. You must remember what God said to you on top of that mountain. It's very hard to remember and feel the way you felt on top of that mountain when you're down in the valley and all the circumstance and the trials and the enemies trying to paralyze and neutralize and hammering that promise that gets distorted down there in the valley. But guess what? It's the valley is where it births. You want to know the secret of it all? You have to learn to see it in the valley the way you saw it on the mountain. We're going to teach you how to do that. Amen. Look at this scripture, Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing. We read that. I want to remind you once again. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Now, Ephesians 5 and 17 is a very powerful promise. And I'm going to read to you out of the Amplified here. Listen to what it says. This is very important when you're dealing with heavenly things. Wherefore, be you not vague, thoughtless, or foolish, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. You cannot be vague when you enter the courts of heaven. God wants you to be specific. You can't be thoughtless. And you cannot be foolish. God does not bless foolishness. My friend, we've got to wake up and understand that God invested so much. He gave His only Son. He watched Him as He was beaten. But more than that, He allowed Him to be separated from His bright presence, spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of hell, suffering you and I's penalty. He emerged victorious. We got to know everything that God has done for us. We cannot be vague about these things. We cannot be foolish when we approach heaven. You can't flippantly go to heaven You got to know who you are. You got to know that you're a son and a citizen. You have rights. You have a seat that's been purchased for you. And you can make intercession from that seat. You can bring those requests and God will hear you. But you got to know who you are.
Hallelujah.
Another very important principle here about asking in faith, we find in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Let's look at that. As it is written, speaking of Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. I mean, here's Abraham, nearly 100 years old, and Sarah's 90. Everything around them is dead. God loves to work when there's crucified flesh. When everything's dead, that's where he bursts out of that place. When there's too much of us, God doesn't like contending with human sufficiency, so he lets it all die. That's the waiting process. You got to die, my friend. You keep trying to produce it your way. No, heaven has a way. It's called asking, seeking, and knocking. Part of that process of seeking, you got to go on a journey. And part of that journey is you got to die to your ability to produce the promise, because heaven does not allow flesh to glory in its presence. Watch what he says. Who against hope believed in hope. Everything in him was against the hope. Deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham, 99 years old. And God said, you're going to have a son. He's going to come from your loins. How about that? You got a birth when everything's dead. When you can't see it, feel it, taste it, or touch it. You got a birth. But God didn't leave Abraham empty. You know what he said? I'll give you something to look at, Abraham. I'll give you something to see. I'll give you something to say. Look at the stars at night, heaven. That's your descendants. Look at the sand of the seashore. That's your descendants. I change your name from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. I'm going to put my word in your mouth. I'm going to put it in your eyes. I'm going to wrap my word around your senses. And even though you can't see it, feel it, taste it, or touch it, I'm going to give you something to look at. I'm going to give you something to say. I'm going to put my word within you. You're going to carry it, and everything around you is going to die, but that promise is going to live. Now watch what happens. Oh, do you feel the presence of the Lord? I do. Against hope, believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, consider not his own body now dead. That's a lot. You can't just roll over that scripture. How would you like God to do that? You got to believe against the contrary circumstance. When he was about 100 years old, yet neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at verse 20. This is very important in asking in faith. Staggered not at the promise of God. Through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. My friend, you're going to have to stay in that position of fully persuaded. How are you going to stay there? When you're down in the valley and the time of your mountaintop experience is over and you're down and it feels like you're all alone and you've got this dream you're carrying on the inside of you. How many of you know when you carry the dreams and the plans of God, you're already gone around the mountain. You've tried to produce it yourself and it hasn't worked. Yet the dream and that desire and that promise of God still lives in you, but you can't put your hands on it. And you're waiting and waiting and waiting down in the valley. I said, God, what do you want me to do? You're not going to let me produce it on myself. I've gone around and around that mountain to try to touch it with my hands. How many of you know the ark of God? You can't backpack it. You know what I mean by that? Uzzah, he tried to even steady the ark. He died. How many of you gotten too close to the ark of God? You try to put your hands to it. You try to put your sufficiency to it. You try to put your wisdom on it. And he got burned. And you try to run from it, but it went with you. How many of them I'm talking to out there? You know I'm talking to you. You got burned. I remember I'd gone 2 or 3 rounds trying to produce the will of God, and I couldn't, but it wouldn't leave me. It stayed there, gnawing on me. Yet I couldn't touch it. I said, what do you want me to do? I try to go sit on the couch. If you're not going to let me do it, then I'll side-eye myself. And it didn't work that way. And the Spirit of the Lord told me, He said, you're going to have to learn how to come into harmony with the ark. Well, you're not too close to it, and you're not too far from it. You can't put your hands all over the promise of God. You can't put your sufficiency all over it. Heaven has a way He's going to produce. I said, what can I do? And the Holy Spirit answered that day. He said, would you like to know what you can do? And I said, yes, I know you're not going to let me produce it in my own strength, my own wisdom, my own sufficiency. He said, yes, but I need things from you in order to birth it from the dominion of your Spirit. And boy, when he started unraveling that, and these are some of the things we're going to get into the next sessions, we're going to show you how to co-labor with heaven and that God-given destiny and call and dream and desire of your heart. Hallelujah forever. We're going to pick this up in the next session, and we're going to show how the Holy Spirit will be getting involved with your dream and what He needs from you. He doesn't need your sufficiency. He doesn't need your wisdom. He doesn't need your hands all over it. The will and the call of God cannot be tainted with too much human. No flesh, remember this, will glory in His presence. What did He say? It's not by might, nor by your power, but by His Spirit. And so many is walking around, and we've learned that lesson. Lesson number one in this life. You cannot perform the will of God on your own. Even Jesus Himself, I can do nothing of myself. I can only do what I see my Father doing. If He couldn't do it, we can certainly cannot do it. I learned that lesson a long time ago. I'm walking around, if I can't touch it and it won't leave me, what do I do? Only those that have carried that kind of call understand the sufferings of carrying a call and not being able to touch it or taste it or see it, yet it never leaves. So the Holy Spirit told me that day, He goes, I'll show you what I need from you. There is something He needs from you. There is a co-laboring. He's just not sidelining you, and one day you're going to wake up and there the call of God starts running out of you. No, He needs your faith. He needs you to be an incubation chamber of heaven. He needs you to co-labor with that promise. And He wants to teach you how to do it. He taught me that day in that visitation what He needed, and I'm going to teach you in these next sessions. It's been my pleasure teaching you. We'll see you again next session. God bless you.